Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's time for your weekly Cardscast, the weekly podcast from Cardinal Authority. I am senior writer Michael McCam, and joined by publisher Jody Demling. Lots to get to today. We've got a basketball season that's, you know, now three games in, football season that's winding down. So let's get to it. And the women's are off and running with a spectacular performance from their All-American freshman. So we're going to get to as much as we can during these next few minutes here on the Cardcast. And Jody, let's start with football. It's the season that's kind of bringing it itself to an end here. One game left, and the story continues for these Cardinals. Again, you know, looking back to the last outing up at Boston College, and once again, turnovers doom the Cardinals in another one.
No doubt about it. Michael, I think I looked to see when I looked the other day, every game, every loss except for Notre Dame, Louisville has had three turnovers.
That's crazy.
It is. It's crazy, isn't it? It's unbelievable. But you know, the thing about it is when you think about that, and when you think about, what they've done, and Scott Satterfield said it the best the other night. I mean, and I agree with him some, and I don't agree with him others. Most of the fumbles have been fumbles. Some of the interceptions literally have been flukes. I mean, you think about the one back, it was a home game. And it was a batted ball. It was a ball that went off the receiver's chest and then batted by somebody else right into the hands of another. So, I mean, you know, there are things like that. There are flukes that happen. But you got to hang on to the ball. And the fact that I keep going back to, the fact that I think is crazy, is the fact that the university, the coaches that Louisville has now, the same coaching staff, had zero fumbles the entire last year they were at App State. So it's not taking up for the coaches, and it's not ragging on the guys or vice versa or whatever like that. It's just the matter of a fact is that they teach it, they drill it, and for some reason it's just this team, it hasn't sunk in, and I don't know why.
Yeah. And we've talked about it. You know, we it's been an ongoing discussion, as you know, Jody, when we had these, you know, virtual press conferences, whether it be with Scott Satterfield or with Dwayne Ledford, the offensive coordinator, throughout the season. You know, this has been a frequent topic of conversation. They've talked about, you know, different ways they're trying to hold, you know, the team and individuals accountable, you know, whether it be additional work after, you know, staying late after practice to do some extra things, be it running or push-ups or whatever. You know, if something happened in practice, you know, like if somebody fumbles the ball in practice, they got to do immediate up downs right then, you know. And then, you know, and there's other things of doing it as well. You know, there's the board where, you know, names get put up, and it's not a board that you want to have your name on. So, you know, they've tried different measures to hold guys accountable. And yet they continue to happen, you know. And obviously a lot of people, you know, think, well, the ultimate accountability is to sit their butt down on the bench and see if that wakes them up. And, you know, and there's an argument to be made there, but at the same time, I don't think that's really the wisest choice, you know, for some of the positions that we're talking about as well. You know, to me, it's just, it's been crazy. I mean, it's gotten to the point to where when we're making our weekly picks, it's like it used to be earlier in the season. If they can get rid of these turnovers, they've got a chance to win. Now it's like, you expect the turnovers, but hopefully the defense or something else will happen, you know, to kind of even them out. And, you know, and the defense for the defense, speaking of them, I mean, they've increased their numbers a little bit in recent weeks, which is something you love to see, you know, being a little bit more aggressive, attacking the ball a little bit more. But my gosh, I mean, I agree with you. Yes, some of these interceptions have been fluky, but, you know, but when there's so many turnovers, even the fluky, the tip balls and stuff, are accentuated even more and just seem like, you know, even more of a problem. But, you know, it's, again, it's a broken record. If Louisville's able to cut their turnovers in half, you know, we're talking about them potentially needing another win, or maybe they've already secured a winning season at this point. But, you know, at this point, they rank in last nationally in turnover margin. They're next to last in total turnovers. It's been crazy to see how much it has happened. And like you said, you know, three a game is insane. I mean, I've never seen anything like that so consistently throughout an entire season. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, no, it totally is. And I think when I think when you move forward looking to into the future, I mean, yeah, there's another game this year. We'll talk about that in a minute. But when you think about the future of this program, I think that again, that's the biggest difference between now and last year. That's the biggest difference is the fact that last year they fumbled the ball. They won games at the end, and they won close games. And I went back and I could count four of them last year, four victories that could have gone either way in the very end. And they won. Now this year, four games that could have gone either way, and they lost. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those. It's one of those deals. All right, moving forward, it's a big couple of weeks, for the Louisville football program, in my opinion. And you might say, well, that's kind of crazy. Well, no, it's really not. Tomorrow's December 1st, okay? And so between December 1st and December 19th. They're going to play a game most likely at some point, okay? And they're also going to have a signing class on December 16th that is 22 players deep and is what's the ranking now, Michael, as far as star ranking? Is it second all-time?
Second
rating,
or third.
Rating.
Yeah.
Rating.
Yeah. Player prospect rating. It's either second or third. I'll have to pull that back up and we'll do a more updated one.
It's second or third all-time.
Yeah, I mean, ranking and player prospect ranking, I mean, both of them rank among the best the school's ever had. So
starting December 1st, from the next 19 days, they have to practice. They got to get some young kids going. But for the most part, a lot of the focus will be on recruiting. They will do a Zoom call with each of the commitments of the 22 with the staff. That'll be more for parents than it is. Those guys are all pretty set right now. I think, I think 11. I think my count was 11 of them are coming next month. Or well, not ne- almost next month in January to enroll in classes and all that kind of good stuff. So a lot of moving parts over the next 19, 20 days here. We'll start with the game. They're scheduled right now for December 19th against Wake Forest. Wake Forest is making up a game. Well, Wake Forest was supposed to play this week against Miami, and they canceled. They're supposed to play next week, and I forget who they're supposed to play next week, but they're supposed to host someone next week on December 12th already as a makeup from before. They're in COVID. They're having COVID issues now. Their athletic director made a statement on Saturday saying that he anticipates that they will play again this season, that they will get back on the field. Louisville scheduled to play them on December 19th. I've been told that the ACC really doesn't want to go to the 19th, and I think it's more of the schools don't want to go until the 19th. I mean, you've got to really – that would really make a tough week for coaches. I mean, it's already nationally the ACC championship week, you know, this year, but it's signing week. It's that. I mean, it just – there would be a lot of things going on. Plus – It's the week before Christmas, and if you finish on the 12th, then you can give the guys the rest of the month off, you know, and report back on the 6th or whatever. And depending on a bowl game, and I don't think there's going to be a bowl game, but I did hear some things about, like, I mean, even a team like Liberty is probably not going to get to a bowl game because the conferences, because of financial concerns and all that, the conferences are going to have to fill their bowl spots. Like, they're going to make, you know, 3 and 4 win teams play to fill those spots in some cases. So long story short, I think when it ends up, I think there's a good chance that Louisville probably plays on the 12th. I just don't know who it would be. I mean, it could be Clemson and it could be Duke. I doubt it's going to be Wake Forest if it's on the 12th, because again, and I'm trying to fumble and look to see.
They got Notre Dame set.
Notre Dame. That's it. Yeah, that's right. So they got Notre. They have Notre Dame. So, yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. It will be very interesting to see what they do and how they do this, Michael, with the ACC. I know they've asked Louisville a number of different options, and I think Louisville is cool with whatever they want to pull off, try to pull off.
Yeah, I think if I'm Louisville and they're going to move us to the 12th, you know, I think they'd probably rather pull Duke out of the hat than Clemson, you know, for obvious reasons. You know, and when you're looking at that December 19th date too, teams that are going to be playing that, if they're playing that weekend, then they're, you know, outside of the ACC championship game, those are the teams that are most likely going to play in the earlier bowl game dates. And those are
right.
Just, you know, that just starts a few days after the December 19th dates as well. So, you know, you're going from one game to potentially, you know, a week or maybe even less in some cases, having to turn right around and play in a bowl game. So a lot of reasons, you know, to move that game up.
Yeah, Michael. And yeah, that you make a good point there, because there are bowl games. I'm having trouble with my laptop during this, but the one bowl game that is an ACC bowl game for sure is the day after. It's in Tampa. I don't know what it's called now. It's been called a thousand different names, but it is a let's see. It's an ACC bowl game on the 26th. So you can't really expect teams to play on the 19th and then turn around in a bowl game and play on the 26th. I just don't think you can. The Gasparilla Bowl is an ACC SEC game in Raymond James Stadium, Tampa, on December the 26th, which December 26th. Is exactly 1 week after the 19th, obviously, that next Saturday. And you're talking about Christmas Eve and Christmas Day in that week as well. So I'm not sure. Again, they got to be careful with how they do it and moving forward into bowl games. There's also the First Responder Bowl, which is in Dallas, which is the day after Christmas as well. That's an ACC game. And then you also have December 28th is the Military Bowl. So you've got three bowl games that would be affected by lower teams. And again,
you know, and Jody saying, also, you know, the Fenway Bowl, which has been canceled, has been replaced by the Montgomery Bowl, which is, I believe, ACC and AAC. And that's on December 23rd.
That's on December. Is it the 23rd or is it the 24th? I thought it was the
20th. There's two games in Montgomery this year. There's the Montgomery Bowl and I forget what the whatever they call the other one.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's two bowls there. And I think the one on the 23rd is the ACC and AAC. So
and I'm not necessarily projecting Louisville's going to a bowl game, because I'm one that still thinks that's a long shot to happen, because there's going to be some bowl games canceled. And I think Louisville, just being where they are, but Wake Forest is 4-3, you know, and they're not going to play this week, and they're going to probably most likely play Notre Dame. So they would be 4-4. They're more likely to get into a bowl, I guess, from what from everything you hear, they're more likely to get into a bowl. You know, and Louisville could be 3-7 if they win the last game, 4-7. I mean, I think 4-7. I think if they win four games, they're probably going to bump up and get into one of those last bowl games. But it's just, there's so much that is up in the air right now, Michael, that I just think I would hate it for them not to get. Look, this is a senior class that has got a couple of really special guys in it. In Dez is special. I mean, a lot of these seniors have been around and done a lot, but Dez is really, really special from a talent standpoint, from what he's done for the program standpoint. You know, Robbie Bell has been through hell and back in this program. You know, he went through a lot with the last coaching staff and has come back. You know, and there's other guys too that have been around, that stuck it out, that have been really, really loyal. And I would really hate to see them not get a senior day. So my hope is they just play one of these last two weekends, the 12th or the 19th, whatever it is. I'm pretty certain as we tape this on Monday afternoon, I'm pretty certain of one thing. I'm pretty certain they won't have a game this week. that's my gut feeling, because they're not planning on a game this week, and I don't think that will happen.
Yeah, look, but you know, it is 2020, and who knows what's going to happen. But you know, one thing's for sure, as we do continue to move forward with this college football season, like you mentioned, there's probably going to be a few more bowls that decide to postpone or cancel for the 2020 season. That's, you know, and that will certainly create a ripple effect. And as you pointed out with Liberty, there might be some programs who can't really afford to get to these bowl games, which is also an unfortunate situation, which is could potentially open up some opportunities for programs that otherwise wouldn't get in there. But you do hope that they're able to finish this season. You know, whoever the opponent is, Clemson, Duke, Wake, whoever the opponent is, you would like to see them, you know, take advantage of these upcoming weeks and continue to improve, focus not only on the game upcoming, but also the future as well.
One last thing, again, we expect 22 signees. Check out the recruiting scoop today. I've got a couple little nuggets in there about the class and about filling out moving forward and all that kind of thing. And there is just two spots left. It's not going to change. It hasn't changed, no matter how many times that people want it to change. There's two spots left between now and August 1st that they cannot add. And again, they could add somebody after August 1st, but it would have to be almost like the perfect situation to where, you know, the kid didn't graduate until the summer. And most kids are going to want to know by then where they're at. And most kids are going to want to get on campus. If you're going to be a grad transfer or a transfer, you're going to want to get on campus this summer. This spring and this summer, and kind of get to work and all that, like they always do. So again, there's wiggle room late, but it would have to be like a perfect situation. So we expect 22, and then two more left in this class, and we'll keep you updated on all of the latest with that recruiting stuff. Hey, before we talk men's basketball, just a real quick women's basketball. They're loaded. It's ridiculous what they've got. I mean, Haley Van Lith is literally one of the best players in the country, and she's played two games, and I don't think there's any question about it. And Kiana Smith, who I think on any given day can be Louisville's best player, has not even played a minute yet this year. She's been unavailable. We kind of all know what that means in 2020, even though some people don't say it. She's been unavailable the first two games, and I've been told she'll be back if they play on Wednesday, which they don't have a game scheduled right now. But the plan for them is to announce, if Cincinnati is able to do it, to announce a game at Cincinnati on at some point this week, either Tuesday night or Wednesday night. And then the plan is for them to go play a top 20 team, as Jeff Wall said yesterday, in Uncasville, Connecticut, at the Mohegan Sun on Friday night. And again, we would think that that's going to get announced at some point today or tomorrow. It should be announced. So they're loaded. I just mentioned two players as the best players in the country are on their team, and I didn't even mention the reigning ACC Player of the Year, who leads them in scoring right now. Right now, after the first week of play, and some teams have actually played three games. Louisville played two, but after the first week of play, Haley Van Lith ranks eighth in the ACC in scoring and eighth in the ACC in rebounding from the guard position. And yeah, Dana Evans ranks fourth in the ACC in scoring and fourth in the ACC in assists. So it's a fantastic team, all that. And Olivia Cochran is probably the difference maker for them, because she's a big body down low and in the middle. So I'm excited to get to go see them again on Sunday. If they actually play Wednesday in Cincinnati, I might actually try to make that trip to see them up there, just because the opportunities are going to be few and far between this year. If you get a chance to get out and see them, you need to go do it.
Yeah, I was out of town, so was unable to see that. Haven't had the opportunity to see them play yet, but really looking forward to seeing them, especially Haley Van Lith. I mean, obviously a lot of hype, you know, for what she can bring to Louisville. You know, her first career double double against Eastern Kentucky. You know, reading the reports afterwards, and thought Jeff Wall is kind of one of those Captain Obvious statements when he says, you know, the season's going to be fun, and that if Haley and Dana can continue to develop the chemistry together, it should be a really exciting season to watch. And
what I was
that's certainly going to be the case.
what I was more impressed more than anything, I've met Haley. I interviewed her in person twice while she was when she was a signee and a recruit, and I've seen her, but I'd never seen her in person on the floor until Sunday. But she is just built. I mean, her build is crazy. The way she just, she's a workout. I mean, I don't know that she's a workout freak, but she looks like a workout freak just because she's so muscular. She's so strong. And that translates with her game, because when she takes it into the paint, people can't stop her. She's so crafty and so good. People can't stop her. And I would never compare, obviously, to Kobe or anything like that, but she's got a little bit of that mentality. You can see where she has worked out. She had worked out with him before he passed away, and had been doing it for over a year, and they became friends and buddies and that kind of thing. And you can see a little of that mentality when she gets in the lane, kind of the pump fakes and the things that she does. It's fun to see. And I'm telling you, it's going to be very, very special. So, all right, men's basketball. I'm amazed. I'm pleasantly surprised that they've looked, not that they've won, but that they've looked like they had. Obviously, if Seton Hall had practiced longer, that game could have been different. Tomorrow night is going to be hard. It's going to be a difficult test because Western Kentucky, in my opinion, I think they're in the top 20. I think they're one of the 20 best teams in the country. I don't think there's any doubt about it, because I'm a big West Virginia guy. I think West Virginia is going to be really, really good and hard to beat as they move forward down the road. So I think Western Kentucky poses a lot of problems for Louisville tomorrow night with the shorthanded roster that they have. But I'm amazed at this point, and I got to give credit what Mike Pegues, Luke Murray, and Dino Gaudio have done as far as with the scouts so far and how they have attacked each and every one of these opponents. You got to give them a lot of props.
Yeah, you do. I mean, coming into this season, I think any of us are a little bit surprised that Louisville is, not that they played murderer's row or anything. They certainly haven't. But to be 3-0 and the way they've done it, in each game, I think you've been able to see with each game the positives, a number of positives to take away, including this last one against Prairie View. Started off a little sluggish in that game, but you still like to see the resolve and the fight back. And then the attention to detail whether it's Coach Mack or any of the assistants saying, hey, stop doing this and start doing this, and snap the fingers, and they started making that, okay, coach, just I hear what you're saying. I'm gonna crash the boards a little bit better. I'm gonna tighten up my defense a little bit better. It's been impressive to see them make the transition. And what can you say about, you got Jalen Withers coming in, a redshirt freshman. You've got obviously J.J. Trainer, the big story from game number two against Seton Hall, and then Dre Davis. I mean, those three guys. Very inexperienced, obviously, coming in, and the impact they're able to have to this point, when coming into the season, especially for the two freshmen, there really wasn't too much expectations for what they were going to, what their roles would be this year. And to see them coming in and really making an impact this early, again, not against ACC competition, but they're showing the confidence that you need. They're showing, the aggressiveness that you want to see from guys coming in, that they want to have an impact. And, again, to your point, tip of the hat to not just Chris Mack, but the entire staff for the effort and that they've been able to pull out of these new guys and these inexperienced guys.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. This is a big week for them. This is a week to tell. This is a big week to tell with where they're going to look. If they lose to Western Kentucky and they don't have Samuel Williamson, obviously that's a big deal. Especially because of the other guys that we know that are out. Okay. If they play Western tight, and I think Greensboro possesses some real problems, for Louisville when they play them on Friday. I mean, they've got, Greensboro's got a really good, squad. And I think when you look at some of the things that they've got, I mean, Hayden Koval was the fourth leading shot blocker in the nation last year at Central Arkansas. So he's a big 7'2" guy that is going to, it's going to present them with, you know, a whole lot of problems. And then Isaiah Miller is the best player in the Southern. I think he's, Isaiah Miller is the best mid-major player in the country. And I don't think there's any question in my mind that he is a guy that's probably at the end of this year going to get drafted out of a mid-major. I'm not sure if he has, I don't think he has another year left. I think this is it for him. You know, so they present problems, but Charles Bassey, Tavion Hollingsworth, Carson Williams, Western Kentucky is loaded with talent, and so it's gonna be difficult for them. I do think, Michael, a couple of notes. Dre Davis is better than everybody thought he would be, and I got to give Evan Daniels props. I've talked to him several times after games, and you know he was the one that was really high on JJ Traynor, and I don't think JJ Traynor has proven that he's going to be a great player at Louisville just yet, but I think he's proven that he has the potential to be a really good college basketball player at the University of Louisville over the course of the next few years. And I don't know that some people, I think some people, you know, maybe questioned that, going into the season.
Yeah. What you love about JJ is, we've heard that he's a quiet guy. We know that he's a quiet guy from doing interviews and talking with the coaches and things like that. But he's showing, despite being quiet, that he's got a motor. You know, he's driven to prove people that he can play at Louisville. And thus far, you know, through three games, he's starting to show little flashes of that. I mean, what he did against Seton Hall, I mean, that takes a lot of confidence in accomplishing something like that. Is certainly a huge boost to his accomplishment. And obviously, much has been said about, you know, his length and his reach and all that. And as they continue to bulk him up, which they will over the next couple of years, I think he's just got the potential to get better and better and better. And at some point, you know, that potential is going to become reality for him. I'm excited to see what he's got. And Dre Davis, to me, has been an amazing surprise. Not that, you know, nobody didn't think he could accomplish it, but you could see the focus that he has, put in the weight room leading up to his freshman season during the preseason is clearly notable. And that's certainly making a difference. You know, the comments from Chris Mack about how he's been showing flashes at both ends of the court during the preseason have proven, in reality so far through these three games. I mean, he leads the team in blocks, leads the team in steals, and he's a guy that's, attacking the rim. And in doing so, he's getting to the foul line where he's hitting over about 73% from the free throw line. So really like what we're seeing out of those two. And another guy that I'm really impressed with thus far has been Quinn Slezlinski and what he's been performing. You know, he's a guy that's never lacked in confidence either. And, he's shown the ability and the drive to get to the boards and make things happen. And he's just, also another guy that's getting to the free throw line. And, he's hitting 90% from there as well. So, a lot of positives through three games. Certainly, as you pointed out, the tests get a lot more difficult this week. I'm with you. Western Kentucky, I think, they're certainly a postseason team and one that, is going to give a lot of teams headaches this year. They should do extremely well in Conference USA play. And we're certainly challenged, and I would think is probably going to be the favorite against the Cardinals when they meet here in a couple of days.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, I don't think. I think they'll be definitely the favorite. It'll be interesting to see how kind of Louisville plays them with the, as Chris was talking about, the they look like the Lilliputians. They'll look like the Lilliputians out there. Charles Bassey was the CUSA Player of the Week. Davion McKnight was Freshman of the Week. They've got good players. And they've done a really nice job. Yeah, and it's some experience. They've done a really nice job headed into this season so far, and what they have been able to accomplish. So it'll be interesting. A good test for Louisville. A good week for Louisville. It should be. Later in the week, there will be a decision from Tay Davis, who's Dre Davis's brother. He's a class of 2022 prospect. I still expect Louisville to pick up their first commitment in the 2022 class with Tay Davis. He was actually there at the game on Friday. His parents have been to each of the first three games, but he was there on Friday. Mom and dad back on Sunday. He didn't come with them. They only get certain amount of tickets, and it's a family ordeal with the Davises. Grandma and grandpa both like to come to games and like to be around and have fun. And they sit real close to where we're at right now for four games this year. And let me tell you, they are a very energetic bunch. I'll just say that they're very energetic.
They're supporting the Cards
about it. They yeah. are. And it's fun to see. So, yeah. So it's a lot of fun, and it should be a good week for Louisville this week. Hopefully they can get a couple of wins, and then and if they get a couple of wins, after they get a couple of wins, let's say that, then hopefully the Cards will pick up a good commitment on Saturday and head into the new week out of the MTE with a lot of positives. So you know, it's a long season. But it could be a short season, so you just got to take it game by game and hope that you get as many games in as you possibly can. And for them, that's the hope right now is that they get all five of these games. If they can get them all in by the end of the week, they've got three in. If they can get two more in by the end of the week, then I think that's a win for them. Even no matter what the the schedule or the wins loss column says, hopefully it says 5-0. But if it says 4-1, I think they have to be pleased with what they've seen so far. All right, for Michael McCammon, I'm Jody Demling. This has been our regular edition of the Cardscast. No game day edition this week. Hopefully we'll have a commitment edition later in the week as well. But for now, just keep clicking at cardinalauthority.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.